You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 437.
Because all we can do is flop.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin. What's new?
Well, here we go. It's, you know, Dragon Con part 6. You ready for this?
No.
No, I think we're done with Dragon Con.
No.
I think 5 Dragon Con episodes was just about enough.
I would call it generous, but...
Now we move on.
I'm tapped out. Although, the Classics track on Facebook was on Saturday morning showing an episode of Thundar, and I checked in for that.
Dragon Con never ends for the Classics track. They've been going nonstop since the spring and show no signs of stopping. But we are stopping here on the Flopcast, though, because, come on, we need a rest.
Fair enough.
I think that's the whole concept for today's show, is we didn't really plan much. This is just going to be a nice, casual, simple Flopcast, and we'll just call it a show, you know? We need to relax a little more.
Yeah. I didn't even plan a response to that, Kevin, yeah. So that's all I got for you. Yeah.
Your response was very, very relaxed, so you're on point. And before we get into whatever stupid things we're going to just kick around in a very relaxed manner today, let's start out. This will be exciting. Cornflake, what is National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
I think you're going to be surprised that I found out about this birthday. I'm pretty sure this celebrity, who's having a milestone 50th birthday, that's right, the Big 5-0,
yeah,
on September 27th, is somebody that you're going to be more familiar with than I am. So, counting on you to help me here, let's all celebrate Tamara Taylor. Do you know who that is?
Nope.
Okay, well, let me run a few credits by you. She has a small role in Serenity, and she was on Lost, but she's probably best known for having played Dr. Camille starting on season 2 of the TV show Bones. Huh. She got her start on A Different World back in 1991. I thought it would be cool to talk about Tamara because of her connections to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just this year.
Yeah.
And her voice credit in the 2015 animated DC movie Justice League Gods and Monsters. She was the voice of Wonder Woman.
All right. Well, those are some solid geek credits. None of which I am terribly familiar with. I must have seen that Justice League cartoon movie because I watch all those DC cartoon movies.
Well, I thought you would know Tamara Taylor, you know, being the DC guy that you are. But I guess I don't have as much of a concept as you do of exactly how many of those movies come out. So
yeah, there's a bunch of them. So this is someone that you're not very familiar with?
Not terribly. I know that she was a villain on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So we're just going to be fumbling through this, not knowing anything about who we're celebrating. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think just ended recently, yeah. I guess. I bailed out like halfway through season 1 and never looked back. Okay. I just couldn't take it.
Well, if you ever do come back around, she plays a really cool villain named Sybil.
All right, and she was on Bones?
She was on Bones, starting in season 2.
All right, never saw that.
You've never seen Bones?
Never.
What?
No.
I thought I was the one that missed out on all the pop culture.
Oh, please, I miss nearly everything. I'm in my own little world over here.
You watched Lost, right?
I did see Lost. I wish I could say I didn't. One of my greatest regrets, looking back, is that I saw the entire series of Lost. Man, what a train wreck that thing was.
I have never been more wrong about a whatever day.
So this was...
I thought you were going to know this person.
This was somebody that you didn't know much about, but you figured with these credits, I would just take the ball and run, right? And look at me, just as clueless as you about Tamara. Is it Tamara? Tamara?
I think it's Tamara.
We don't even know how to pronounce her name, but... But happy birthday, Ms. Taylor. I'm sure she's awesome. Never heard that name before in my life.
And she turns 50 on September 27th. Big day for Tamara Taylor.
Who were the twins? Remember there was a show called Sister Sister and it was twin sisters?
Oh.
Didn't they have a name like that?
Something in Tamara.
Yeah. Is one of them having a birthday but the other one isn't? How'd that happen?
I remember them. And Jack A.
Jack A? Was she on Sister Sister?
She was. She ultimately became like the stepmother.
Okay. I never saw Sister Sister either. I just remember that it existed. And I remember that it was twin girls. And so I'm correct that one of them was named Tamara?
One of them was named Tamara. Okay. And now that you say that, I can't remember. I used to watch that. And I can't remember.
Yeah. Maybe one of them was named Tamara and one of them was named Taylor. And now they've fused into one giant super twin named Tamara Taylor. And it's her birthday.
Could be.
That's just good science. That must be what happened. See how we figure things out around here?
Glad we figured out a way to land out on our feet on this one.
Always. So what you been doing, Cornflake?
Oh, I started rewatching Doug from the 90s on Hulu.
Doug is a cartoon. It started on Nickelodeon in the early 90s. I'm going to say 1992.
1991.
91. I was awfully close. Thank you. And that's all I know. That concludes what I know about Doug.
It somehow escaped me that this show that I was so devoted to back when I was a teen ran 7 seasons. Like, it ran all the way till 1999. I never did see the end of it, but I watched it regularly back in the early 90s. And, you know, I kind of dug back in on Doug because I needed a pick-me-up. And, you know, it's starting to do the trick, but I needed something more. I think I figured out a solution to all my problems. You know what I did?
What's that?
I bought a trampoline, Kevin.
Okay. First of all, before we go on, I like how you just handled your own transition from watching Doug to buying a trampoline. And I was just hanging back, letting it happen. Nicely done. You took two completely unrelated things and just kept going. Watching Doug and therefore bought a trampoline.
Well, Kevin, I've kind of always been Captain Random.
And now you have a history with trampolines. We've discussed you and your trampolining antics on the Flopcast many times over the years. There was one year. You spent an entire year literally on a trampoline, if I'm remembering this correctly.
Yes. There was a New Year's resolution one year.
I might have slightly exaggerated that in my mind, but that's how I like to look back at it.
That was one bouncy year.
No, this is out in the yard.
Yeah.
You got a nice big trampoline.
Yep.
Like on the Brady Bunch. Remember the Brady's got a trampoline just for one episode. We're on Zoom right now. I can't see you. We're just doing an audio call right now. Are you currently on the trampoline?
Oh, I haven't left it since I built it, Kevin.
I thought so. What a scene at your place. What kind of altitude are you getting on this thing?
Enough.
Are there neighbors that just see you suddenly popping up over a fence? Because that'd be good.
How about you? How are you doing?
What have I been doing post-Dragon Con? Let's see. You know, just kind of hanging out, relaxing. I've been watching some stuff. Oh, we saw the Mads this week, you know, from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, did they do like a virtual show?
Yeah, this is Trace and Frank, and they've done a few of these now. I think this might have been their third one. They're doing these monthly now. They're doing an online live version of their movie riffing show because they used to tour with that. You know, I went and saw those guys do their live show a few times. This week they did a movie that I saw them do live a couple years ago. They did a movie called Walk the Dark Streets, and it was theoretically a film noir movie from the 50s. Just really stupid, really awful, of course, needless to say. Starred Chuck Connors. And they had a special guest this time. Actually, last month I went to their August show, and they watched a Vincent Price movie, The Tingler, and they actually had, as a special guest to join them for a little Q&A after the movie, they had Vincent Price's daughter, Victoria Price.
Neat.
Yeah, she was cool. So that was fun. And this week, they had, from the current version of Mystery Science Theater, the new guy that hangs out with the robots, Jonah Ray, he actually dropped in to hang out with the Mads. Always fun seeing those guys. So that was good. And the next show, the next Mad show, put it on your calendar, kids. I think it's October 20th. And they're not doing a movie. They're going to do a bunch of short films.
That will be fun, though. That's always good.
That's always the best stuff. The shorts are always even better than the full-length movies, you know?
Yeah, it gives them good variety.
Yeah, yeah. So they're doing shorts. They said they're doing a couple of cartoons, and they're also going to be showing some sort of a Halloween safety movie.
That'll be gold.
More important than ever this year, Halloween safety.
Oh, yeah.
We should prepare our own Flopcast Presents Halloween Safety. We can make our own video. And it's just me, just the close-up of me, and I just say, stay home. And then, you know, we roll credits.
Can I be on my trampoline in a costume in the credits?
Yeah, better idea. Cornflake on a trampoline, just holding up a sign that says, stay home.
Stay home.
Yes. We'll send that to the Mads. They can make fun of us October 20th.
That would be awesome.
So that was good. The other thing I saw this week was a documentary, a movie called All Things Must Pass. And it's a documentary about Tower Records.
I remember Tower Records.
Remember Tower Records?
Oh, those midnight releases. Yes, I remember Tower Records.
Yes, yes. So this is a documentary from a few years ago. Just it goes through the whole history, the birth of Tower Records, going back to the early 60s, I guess, and then, you know, started in Sacramento, then they expanded throughout California, then they expanded to Japan, and then eventually all around the world. Then eventually, of course, it all came crashing down as the music industry died. But yeah, for a while there, man, Tower Records. Did you used to go to Tower?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Tower Records Boston was on the corner of Newbury Street and Massachusetts Avenue. And yikes, that was just a giant record store.
And I'm remembering correctly, when there was an album release, they would open up at midnight and you could line up and get it, right?
I think so. I never did that. I was never crazy enough to do that.
I did that.
You went to a midnight release of a record?
Yes.
Let me see if I can guess what record it was. Hootie and the Blowfish?
No, I...
Did I get it?
I would not wait anywhere for Hootie and the Blowfish. They're awful.
They're awful. Oh, no. Look at Cornflake taking a shot at Hootie. All right. What act possibly got you to show up at midnight in Boston at Tower Records because you just couldn't wait until the next day to buy a record? What was it?
It was a Counting Crows album.
Counting Crows. I remember them. Yeah, that's worth going out at midnight for, right?
Once I got the album, I was listening to it constantly for the rest of the year. So yeah, it was one that I was excited about at the time.
Yeah, so that was that mid to late 90s era, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I used to show up at midnight for like if the Primitive Radio Gods had a new album out. I'd be there at midnight. I get that.
It was This Desert Life. That's the one that it was.
If there was a new Deep Blue Something record out, I'd be lined up for like a week.
Are you pulling my leg now, sir?
Not a bit, not a bit. I take 90s alt-rock very seriously.
Stop.
Yeah, the Boston Tower Records, I spent a lot of time in that store. I used to live relatively close to there. I could walk to Tower. I wasn't even buying CDs at this point. I was still in my cassette era, and it was huge. It was like escalators inside, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, like you go in first floor, it was magazines and even like weird little small press stuff they had a lot of, and video stuff like VHS tapes. And then second floor was all the music, pop music stuff, pop and whatever else. And then there was a third floor, which I believe was all classical music.
Yeah, I never went up to the third floor.
Although, no, I never went up there. According to rumor, there was a whole floor of classical records.
That's just rumor. We'll never know for sure, will we?
Yeah. Bit too sophisticated for you and me, so we never bothered taking that second escalator ride, evidently.
Nope. Not even an escalator could have lured me up to the third floor at that point.
But yeah, I remember for a giant store and for a national chain, they carried so much stuff just by local, obscure Boston bands.
I do remember that. That was awesome.
I'd buy like my Ed's Redeeming Qualities albums. I remember buying at Tower. Tribe, I remember getting it. Remember Tribe?
Yes, just barely, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. I bought my Tribe album there. So all these Boston bands.
Push Stars, I bet.
Push Stars must have been there, absolutely. I remember also on the first floor, in their VHS section, there was a tape I wanted to buy that I could not find anywhere. And I was looking for a Best of Chuck Jones cartoons, like compilation tape, because I wanted to see One Froggy Evening. And back in the early 90s, you know, you couldn't find cartoons anywhere if you wanted to see them. This stuff wasn't on TV really anymore. And there were all these old classic Chuck Jones cartoons. When I found out that there was a VHS tape at Best of Chuck Jones, and yeah, it had One Froggy Evening, and it had What's Opera Doc, and a bunch of those classic Chuck Jones, Warner Brothers cartoons. And finally, I went into Tower. They had like a giant catalog, this massive book. And I flipped through the book and found it listed and like filled out a form to special order my Chuck Jones VHS. And I believe I still have that tape.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And obviously Tower, you know, just crashed and burned eventually. And what I learned from the documentary is that it still is thriving in Japan.
No way.
They love Tower Records in Japan. Under new ownership, Tower goes on in Japan.
Wow. Okay. I've always kind of wanted to go to Japan, and now I really want to go to Japan.
You just want to go there and go to Tower Records.
You do.
You're going to go there, you're going to buy a Counting Crows record, and come home.
Fly on back.
That shall be your Japanese experience. The other thing about the Boston Tower Records that I remember is, do you remember out on the sidewalk, they had like a walk of fame for Boston music?
I hardly remember that.
You must have just walked right over it and not even looked down. You were just looking where's my Hootie CD? You screamed and you just could not be bothered. Yeah, they had like, you know, like those stars, the Hollywood Walk of Fame out in California.
Yeah.
Tower Records set that up. They had like a Boston music walk of fame on the sidewalk outside the store.
That is super cool.
So Aerosmith, obviously, you know, had a star. Peter Wolf, I think. I don't remember if Jay Giles Band and Peter Wolf had two separate stars or if only Peter had his own, but Jonathan Richman from the Modern Lovers. Pat Metheny, I remember, the jazz guitarist, had a star.
The Pat Metheny Band, yeah.
Yeah, I think Extreme had a star, I believe.
As would only be proper.
Now, the New Kids on the Block, I remember, had a star out there. However, at the time they installed the star, it was when they were still trying to continue under the name NKOTB.
Oh, yeah.
And so their star has just the stupid initial name on it. The New Kids star just said NKOTB.
Everybody knows what that is.
Somebody thought that was a cooler name for the band, I guess. You're the New Kids fan, Corn. Like, you tell me, how did that work out, changing their name to just going by initials?
I just kept calling them New Kids.
Yeah, it did not work at all. So all that stuff is gone. They ripped up the sidewalk. So the Walk of Fame is not there anymore. Weirdly, if I'm remembering this correctly, I was always baffled by the fact that the Cars did not have a star.
That's an odd oversight.
I remember being very confused by the lack of a Cars star on that sidewalk. And unless they got one later after I was not paying attention anymore, far as I know, somehow, I don't know why, one of the all-time great Boston bands, the Cars used to have a studio on that street.
No stars for Cars, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
They literally built their own studio on the street where that sidewalk was.
Wow.
But yeah, somehow they got overlooked, I think. But man, that's what I remember of Tower Records. And the documentary is pretty good. If you're interested in the kind of history of record stores like that, it's worth seeing. It's good, but not great. But it's okay. I don't know which streaming thing it's on. It's out there somewhere. I just saw it today.
Okay.
And it's called All Things Must Pass. That's what I did today. Oh, and I went to the comic book shop.
Oh, what'd you get?
I did make a quick run out of the house, ran down to Rubber Chicken Comics. I try to pop in there very briefly, once a month, you know, wearing my mask. I run in, I get my books, I run out. I think last time I mentioned Retro Fan Magazine.
Yep.
Just a super cool, goofy magazine of just old, goofy, retro stuff. The kind of stuff that we talk about here on the Flopcast all the time. So especially like stuff from the 60s, 70s, 80s, like old TV and toys and movies and collectibles, that kind of thing. And so I got the new issue of Retro Fan today. It's number 10. Because, yeah, some of the stuff in here, there's an interview with Kathy Garver. She was on a Family Affair. She was the older daughter on Family Affair, like 50-something years ago.
Yeah.
Also the voice of Firestar on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Nice.
Which I love. That's available, by the way. That's on Disney.
Oh, Disney Plus?
Yeah, if you get that, you can see the entire Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, because we've been doing that. The mayor and I have been rewatching Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, because what a fun cartoon. As I recall, you watched that one as well, right?
Yes.
Spider-Man and Firestar and Iceman. And here's your voice of Firestar, Kathy Garver, is right here on the cover.
Very cool.
Yeah, she is cool. She's been at the conventions and stuff. I've seen her in recent years. Fake Jan is on the cover. They did a feature article on Fake Jan.
Oh, no.
As in Jerry Reichel, who when they did the Brady Bunch Variety Hour in the mid-70s, they were unable to secure the services of original Jan, Eve Plum, and so they had to bring in Fake Jan, Jerry Reichel. It says Fake Jan right on the cover.
It says holding no punches.
But I follow Jerry Reichel online these days, Cornflake. She's cool, nice lady, and I like that she's embraced her Fake Jan identity. So yeah, Fake Jan interview,
Fake Jan,
an article in here. And also, we mentioned, I think last time I mentioned Retro Fan Magazine, there was an article about the Saturday morning preview specials.
Mm-hmm.
And part two is in this latest issue. So now they're really getting into our era, because this is part two, covers 1978 through 1983. And this is like at the beginning of the TV season, there'd be a Friday night special where they would show you little previews of all the new Saturday morning cartoons, you know?
You used to enjoy that.
It was so exciting.
Yeah, that was the best kind of sneak peek.
That was one of the most exciting nights of the year, was watching the Saturday cartoon preview show. So I have not read this yet. I just brought this home today, but just flipping through it, it's like 1978. Christy and Jimmy McNichol present the ABC Saturday Preview Special. And for some reason, we keep talking about Jimmy and Christy McNichol on this show, but here they are hosting the preview special for 78. Also in 1978 on NBC, the Bay City Rollers meet the Saturday Superstars.
Yes.
Bay City Rollers had their own Saturday morning show back then. That's when they were hosting a show for the Crofts.
Good stuff.
Bay City Rollers hosting a Saturday morning preview show. I definitely want to see that. Plastic Man hosted one. Emmanuel Lewis, I see on one of these.
Yes. Gotta have Webster.
Ooh, there's Henry Winkler.
Hey.
Happy Days theme preview, I believe. Pac-Man hosted one. The Pac preview party.
I remember that one.
Yeah, because there's a Pac-Man cartoon for a few years. So yeah, I'm just flipping through this. I see the cast of the Dukes of Hazzard got involved at some point. There's Dwight Schultz from the A-Team and Ricky Schroeder.
Ricky Schroeder, of course.
Oh, and here's actually, speaking of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, it looks like one of these, they made it look like an awards show. So all the cartoon characters were accepting awards. And they did live-action versions of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. These are like, they dressed up people in costumes to be on an award show.
That's very clever.
Here's Ricky Schroeder in a tuxedo hosting an award show for the new cartoons.
Handing an award to Spider-Man? That is awesome.
Yes, yes. Don't you want to see Ricky Schroeder give an award to Spider-Man?
I want to see Ricky Schroeder in a tux. I'm satisfied.
Look at this. Ricky Schroeder, Dwight Schultz, Kim Fields, Mr. T, Justine Bateman. There's a lineup. If this is not available on YouTube right now, I'm going to be furious. We got to look this stuff up.
Oh, no. Tables will be flipped.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is hard to see these days. Anyway, just because I've been nowhere doing nothing, there you go. I went to a comic shop and I bought a magazine. That's my thrilling report for you this week.
Good times. At least you got out into the world. I'm still sitting here on a trampoline.
You are just bouncing up and down. I'm going out buying magazines with Kathy Garver on the cover. The biggest star in Hollywood today, Kathy Garver. Come on.
One could say that we are indeed making the best of things.
One more note about Retro Fan Magazine, though. If you remember the previous issue, I think it was number 9, cover featured a former guest of the Flopcast. That'd be Reb Brown, Captain America.
Reb Brown, yeah.
And I happen to know also, Cornflake, that an upcoming issue later this year is going to contain an article written by another former guest of the Flopcast.
Oh, wow. It's always so cool that we get them first.
The power of this podcast, I'm telling you. The power, the reach that we possess.
It's the chickens, Kevin. It's got to be.
It's the chickens. It's the trampoline. We're unstoppable.
You know it.
Except speaking of stopping, clearly we have nothing to say.
It's time to wrap up the show, don't you think?
Maybe we should stop.
I like the sound of that. All right. Well, since we are winding down here, we want to tell you where to find us between shows. Come on over to flopcast.net or go to facebook.com/flopcast. Maybe Twitter's your thing. Our handle is @flopcast. We're on Instagram, the_flopcast. And go on over to Apple Podcasts, won't you? And leave us a rating, maybe a review. We'd love that. And the music here on the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Well, you know, Jan Brady's favorite band was the Silver Platters, of course. But fake Jan, her favorite band was the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
So I have heard.
That's just a scientific fact. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for this nice, sleepy, relaxed, let's just catch up edition of the Flopcast. Next week, we'll get back in business. It'll be the fall officially next week, and we'll gear up to get a little busier around here. But for now, we shall stop. Everybody, please be safe, be good, take care of each other, be kind. We're thinking of you. See you next week.
And don't ever accuse me of liking Hootie and the Blowfish again. Peace and cookies.
Fans of podcast, I am Rusted Robot. Rusted Robot is 7 feet tall. Yes, I've heard. Episodes in the hundreds with pop culture reviews and geek style news. I am Rusted Robot Podcast. You have come here for geek. Will you listen? Listen for free? No, we will run and we will live. Aye, run, and you'll live, and dying in your beds many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all those days and come back here for just one more listen? They may take our lives, but they'll never take our Rusted Robot Podcast.
Cornflake, this is the secret after show. Nobody knows that this part of the show is even happening. This is just you and me.
Secrety, secrety, secret after show time.
You may speak freely. Nobody's listening.
Nobody is listening.
You think anybody made it through that promo? No, they're gone. They're out buying their own trampoline right now.
I'll tell you who didn't make it through the promo and not even halfway through the show. I don't know why she does this, but my dog, who could be anywhere in the house, hangs out with me while I'm podcasting every week. And I have just been praying this whole time that my microphone is not picking up her snoring, because she is totally snoring right now, right next to me.
I don't think the microphone picked up any snoring on your side. Any snoring that anyone heard, that was probably me.
Oh.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.